Good morning. How good it is to be together in this place on the fifth Sunday after Pentecost and the last Sunday of June. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. A few important announcements this morning as we prepare to enter into worship. Just a reminder, if this is your first Sunday back to in-person worship here at St. John's, we invite you to look in the pew rack. There's a little card that says in-person worship record, and we invite you to fill that out and then just leave it on the pew. You don't need to turn it in. You don't need to put it anywhere. Just leave it on the pew. We'll gather it later. Pastor Addie and I are simply trying to keep track of those who have returned to worship and those who have not yet come back into the building so that we might be attentive to them. Also, a reminder that this coming Wednesday evening, June 30th, from 7 to 8, is our first summer vacation Bible school gathering for families and children. Even if your family or child has not yet participated in any of the activities that were in the luggage that was picked up earlier this month, come on Wednesday evening. They'll be gathering out near the labyrinth under the big oak tree, and all families with children are welcome, or grandparents with children are welcome as well. And a reminder too, something to look forward to. There is going to be a church picnic this year, but not until September, and not until the 19th, at which time we will have that wonderful basket raffle celebration, which means it's time to put your baskets together. Judy Johnston is here this morning. Judy, can you raise a hand? And she will gladly talk with you after worship during fellowship outdoors. Let her know if you're planning to make a basket. If you are part of a board, talk with your board members. If you've never done one before but have an interest in doing so, Judy can clue you in. I'll be glad to talk with you. I try to look forward to making a basket each year. The baskets will be due on August 15th, so about a month and a half from now. Plenty of time to shop and put ideas together so that we might celebrate in the fall. So some things to look forward to as we move through the summer ahead. Now I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep and slow breath. As we shift our gears, as we breathe in God's presence among us, as we breathe out the things that are distracting us and weighing heavy on our minds, knowing that during this brief time together, God is with us and God is in our midst. Let us worship together. Amen. Jesus, the one we are called to follow, the one God sent to live and dwell among us, the one who died so that we might live, was, is, and always will be a healer. In fact, some refer to Jesus as the great physician. I prefer to call him the great healer because he did more than fix broken bodies. Yes, he healed broken bodies, but he also healed broken hearts and broken souls. Jesus knew how to make all of them better, to infuse them with new life, to make them whole again. The good news is, one need not be a renowned physician, a superhero, or Jesus in order to possess healing powers. A listening ear, a gentle touch, a word of encouragement all have the effect of offering healing to those around us. And the good news here is that we each possess the ability to demonstrate these behaviors. Yes, Jesus restored sight to the blind. He enabled the lame to walk. He opened the ears of the deaf. But just as often, he healed people by listening to their stories, by offering them forgiveness, and by reminding them of their God-given worth. We, as followers of Christ, are called to be healers. In order to equip ourselves for this vitally important work, we are drawn together now in worship, here as well as in our homes, so that we might experience our God, who comes to us in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our life-giving Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession. It is printed in the bulletin. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, our world is broken, and so are we. We may think we have it all together, and we may be persuaded we are doing just fine. But when we dare to be honest with ourselves, we cannot help but acknowledge we need your healing touch. In the flurry and frenzy of everyday life, it is easy to lose perspective, allow our priorities to get out of kilter, and our spirits to go unfed. Forgive us, healing one, and restore our souls that we, in turn, might be healers to those we meet along life's way. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every single one of us here today has experienced the healing power of Christ because we have been the recipients of his forgiveness. Forgiveness is a healing gift. It sets us free. It allows us to wipe the slate clean and begin anew every moment of every day. For this gift, we offer our praise and our thanks this day and always. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know about this, and told them to give her something to eat.